Last week, I shared, and the topic was understanding the reverential fear of the Lord. So tonight, we're going to have part two of understanding the reverential fear of the Lord. And as you may recall, we're going to do a quick review, but we talked about fear a couple, several weeks ago. I think it was even the beginning of the year. I started to teach on fear, and we separated the fear of the Lord, which is reverential fear, and fear. So we want to make it clear again that fear is not of God. So let's turn to 2 Timothy 1:7, just as a quick review. Fear is not of God. It is a spiritual from Satan. It originates from Satan, excuse me, but it is a spirit that originates from him, and he's behind it. 2 Timothy 1:7 in the New King James, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And if you read it in the Passion, for God will never give you the spirit of fear, never give you the spirit of fear, but you get the Holy Spirit, who gives you mighty power, love, and self-control. So we want to make sure that people understand that when you're going through fear, and many are experiencing so many things the last couple years, that fear is not from God. Fear is the result of trusting in people instead of putting your trust in God. And it is used to torment people, making them feel powerless and alone. The reverential fear of God, however, is something that we should have. And that's, we're going to continue to talk about that. As we look at reverential fear, we know that it is the theme that's repeated throughout the book of Proverbs. There's a difference between a spirit of fear and the fear of the Lord. There's also a difference between the fear of God and his judgment. Proverbs 1:7. Let's look at that. Proverbs 1:7 in the New King James. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. So we want to have knowledge. We need the fear of the Lord. The word reverent means showing deep and solemn respect. Reverent, being deep and solemn respect. And this is what, when we talk about the reverential fear of the Lord, it's respecting him, showing him honor. Proverbs 28:14. Proverbs 28:14. Happy is the man who is always reverent, but he who hardens his heart will fall into calamity. He who hardens his heart will fall into calamity. And I hate to say this, but it seems that in today's society, we have many who have hardened their hearts and no longer fear God. They don't care about consequences. And in a time when evil is called good and good is evil, they're only concerned about getting what they desire when they should want to be pleasing to the Lord. So we looked at, last week, we looked at Isaiah 33, 5 and 6 in the NIV, but tonight I'm just going to read it in the Passion. Isaiah 33, verses 5 and 6. And in the Passion, it says, Yahweh is high and lifted up. He dwells on high. He lavished his justice and righteousness on Zion. He will be your constant source of stability in changing times. Let me just stop there for a second, okay? We are in changing times like never before. But what the word is telling us is that he will be your constant source of stability in these changing times. And out of his abundant love, he gives you the riches of salvation, wisdom, and knowledge. Yes, the fear of the Lord is the key to this treasure. The fear of the Lord is the key to the treasure of salvation, wisdom, and knowledge. And we need that today. We need the constant source of stability today. Reverential fear of God is a holy fear. It combines fear and love, which constitutes the reverence of man toward God. It is a fear that one has for someone in authority. It is a type of godly respect. Proverbs 8:13. I'm going to read that in the New King James, the Voice and the Passion. Proverbs 8:13 in the New King James. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogance and the evil way and the perverse mouth I hate. Listen to it in the voice. If you respect the eternal, you will grow to despise evil. I despise wretched, vile talk, and ways of pride and arrogance. And then in the Passion, wisdom pours into you when you begin to hate every form of evil in your life, for that's what worship and fearing God is all about. Then you will discover that your pompous pride and perverse speech are the very ways of wickedness that I hate. This is what the Lord is saying. So wisdom pours into us when we begin to hate any form of evil in our life. We need to have the wisdom of God, and for that's what worship and fearing God is all about. Now, last week we looked at worship and noted that true worship is anchored in a reverence for his presence. When his presence manifests, needs are met. And when we have services forever, you know, going back from the beginning of the services in the home and so forth, when music would go forth and we would have praise and worship, there's reverence that would be present, and then the manifestation of God would come and needs would be met. So reverential fear of the Lord leads to blessings. And Psalm 34, verse 9, "Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints. There's no want to those who fear him." So reverential fear of the Lord will put us into an atmosphere of blessings. Psalm 34, 9, that was. Now, I also spoke about the need to become aware of his greatness and why he deserves honor and respect. I think people tend to steer away or just forget, whatever it might be, but if they look just at creation alone, when you look at creation, it's magnificent, and you see what God did, it's awesome, just awesome. And you get to understand that he created all of this. And when you think about creation, we were created on the last day. He created everything before he created man. So everything was created first. And then he said, okay, let me create man. And it's all ready for him. He didn't create us first or second or third. He had everything taken care of before we came into the picture. So we looked at scriptures last week that let us know that in the New Testament, you and I are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And with God residing in us, we should consider ourselves set apart to serve the Lord. So in the past, you have heard me say that I consider abortion evil. And I'm going to expound on that a little further tonight at this point. But let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Verses 19 and 20. I'm going to read it in both the New King James and the Passion. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 to 20. And I'm going to point out some things that I didn't talk about last week. Last week when we talked about these scriptures, I was referring to the fact that our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, and God resides in us, the Trinity is in us, so are we taking care of our body? Remember, I used the analogy, you have one car your entire life. Would you take care of it differently than if you could get a new one every year? Well, we have one body. And I talked about exercise and eating and rest and so forth. So tonight, I'm going to go down a little different avenue. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20 in the New King James. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? You are not your own, verse 20. For you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. I am not my own. You are not your own. If you're a Christian, you are bought with a price, and we are to glorify God in our body and in our spirit, which belong to God. Now listen to it in the Passion. Verse 19. Have you forgotten that your body is now the sacred temple of the Spirit of holiness which lives in you? You don't belong to yourself any longer. For the gift of God, the Holy Spirit lives inside your sanctuary. Let me just repeat that. You don't belong to yourself anymore. You were God's expensive purchase, paid for with tears of blood. So by all means, then, use your body to bring glory to God. As Christians, we are to use our body to bring glory to God. Now, question for you. Are you respecting your body? Do we do things with our bodies that don't show respect to God? I can't answer that for you. Only you can answer that question. Okay? But I don't belong to myself any longer. This is often where people will filter the scriptures with their own cultural influence and thinking. So basically, if you want to net it out, one is going to say, well, that is okay to go against the word in order to get what I want. And that's what people do. They'll go to church, they're into the word, they say they're into the word, but then when it comes time to make a decision, they're choosing something that's not lining up with the word. And the comment will be, well, everybody else does that. All right. So they're letting their culture influence their thinking. We have TV shows constantly talk about authority and mock leadership, exalting the devious and the rebellious. We shouldn't be surprised that there is so much evil in society today. This carries over into the church, and the fear of the Lord is lost. It can be. And you have, well, somebody will say, well, you know, yeah, I was raised Christian. I know about all these things, but you know, I don't want to get married yet. So it's okay. All my friends do this. That's okay. I'll just live with this person and test out what it's like being married. And you know, if it works out fine, then we'll get married. So they're making cultural choices that have nothing to do with the word of God and actually are against the word of God. Because you heard me say in one of the messages, sex outside of the covenant of marriage is sin. Then you'll have somebody, a Christian, I've even heard that this had come from someone as a pastor, was married for about 19 years, and he said, you know, I'm not happy in this marriage, and so I'm going to get a divorce. God wants me to be happy. So this person got married originally in a covenant. Marriage is a covenant with God in this marriage, with each other and God before God. But now it's not, I'm not happy. So they allow the world to dictate what they should or could do, when in reality, God says, I hate divorce. I hate divorce. The church should never be allowing the world to dictate what we do with our bodies or our choices. The church is to be influencing the world. Our lifestyles should be causing the world to want what we have. They should go to a party and see everyone having a great time and nobody gets drunk. Nobody has any alcohol because we can have a good time without getting drunk. So when the topic of abortion comes up today, you will probably hear this phrase if you haven't heard it already. My body, my choice. My body, my choice. Now think about that, and let's go back to 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. If you read that scripture, is that phrase true? Is your body yours to do with what you want? Absolutely not. Okay? Not only that, the baby a woman carries is not a blob of tissue, but a creation of God. Science has already proven that life begins at conception. So when you go back to 1 Corinthians 6, 19, remember, you are not your own, for you were bought at a price. Therefore, you glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So if a person has an abortion, do you think that that's giving God glory? in the Passion, you don't belong to yourself anymore. For the gift of God, the Holy Spirit, lives inside your sanctuary, your sanctuary. You were God's expensive purchase, paid for with the tears of blood. So by all means, then use your body to glorify God. Amen. So when we look at the choices that people are making today or fighting for, it's obvious they don't understand creation and our God. Let's turn to Psalm 139, verses 13 to 16. I'm going to read that in two translations. Psalm 139, 13 to 16 in the New King James Version. For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret, and I skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance, being yet unformed, and in your book they all were written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there was none of them. Okay? Follow along here. I'm going somewhere with this. In the Passion Translation, verses 13 to 16, you formed my innermost being, shaping my delicate inside and my intricate outside, and wove them all together in my mother's womb. I thank you, God, for making me so mysteriously complex. Folks, I don't know of anything else out there that is so majestic and awesome besides the creation of the human body. Our bodies are magnificent. That's what God did when he made us. All the different things that he put into our body. We are amazing. So I thank you, God, for making me so mysteriously complex. Everything you do is marvelously breathtaking. It simply amazes me to think about it. How thoroughly you know me, Lord. You even formed every bone in my body when you created me in the secret place, carefully, skillfully, shaping me from nothing to something. Verse 16. Now listen to this. You saw who you created me to be before I became me. Let me say that again. You saw who you created me to be before I became me. Before I'd ever seen the light of day, the number of days you planned for me were already recorded in your book. Okay, so just follow along now. An aborted baby never gets to see the light of day that God planned for them. An aborted baby never gets to see the light of day that God planned for them. God had everything planned out according to the scriptures. Listen, let's go to Jeremiah 1:5. I'm going to read it in the New King James. Jeremiah 1:5. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. Okay? So God's telling Jeremiah, I had everything planned out for you. By these scriptures, it's evident that God has plans and purposes for every human being. And we know from Jeremiah 29:11, his plans and purposes are for good and not for evil. We started out in the spirit realm and were put into a physical body in the natural realm at the time of conception. We started out in the spirit realm. Remember back I did the series about stay vertical and stay victorious, okay? We start out, everything in creation starts in the spirit realm. When God said, light be, it came out of the spirit realm. So these scriptures are evidence that God has plans and purposes for every human being. We started in the spirit realm and we're put in a physical body in the natural realm. So the 62 or more million babies that have been aborted were spirits into a natural body that God had plans for. He had these individuals in the book, and their plans were already written out by God. Just like Jeremiah. He's telling Jeremiah, I had this plan for you before. I formed you in your womb. I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you to be the prophet to the nations. Okay? So every one of you listening out there, you can go to God because he has plans and purposes for you. He already put it out there. You just need to tap into it. Go to him if there's things that you have questions about and say, what is it you want me to be doing? He will. It's already done. So there's much discussion about Roe versus Wade, which was a law that was passed many years ago. That law was man's opinion that never lined up with the Word of God. Never lined up with the Word of God. Men and women decided to make a law that was decided totally against the Word. It was totally against the Word. And if you read some material information about the law itself, there's much discussion by lawyers and college professors that it wasn't a good law. And they even, I believe at the time, they said that there would be adjustments made if the science changed. And the science changed. So this is why we need to pray for the Supreme Court justices and all judges, basically. But we need to pray because every elected official needs to use the Word of God as their foundation. Every elected official needs to use the Word of God as their foundation. Those who claim my body, my choice, obviously don't know the Creator or who created them. We have the answers from the Word of God, and we have to take a stand against the evil. God loves those who have had an abortion, and they can be forgiven. Many were in situations where they didn't know they could give their child up for adoption to a family who couldn't have a child. They didn't know about organizations like Birthright and so forth, who would supply everything they needed from the time that they knew they were pregnant on through to delivery and after. Okay? The woman that led me to the Lord in many years ago, she had had an abortion. And it was a sad story. She had four children, was married, and her husband was multiple challenges. And she had gotten pregnant, and he convinced her that she had to have this abortion. It almost destroyed her. And there's many women that have had abortions who have never emotionally recovered. And there was a lady who had witnessed to her and just kept telling her about Jesus and the love of God, and she got born again. And she used that horrible tragedy to minister and share to others what God did for her. And it's such a wonderful story, but there's so many individuals, so many people out there that are hurting, and they need to know about the love of God. The reverential fear of the Lord is when one is obedient to the Lord and not concerned about their own desires. Jesus is our example. Jesus overrode his own flesh in the garden at Gethsemane and went to the cross in agreement with the Father. As hard as it was, as difficult, as challenging, he did that. He wanted to be obedient to the Father. When we develop the reverential fear of the Lord, it leads to intimacy with God. When we have this reverential fear of God, we get into an intimate relationship. Let's turn to Psalm 97, verse 10. I'm going to read it in the New King James and the Passion. Psalm 97, 10. You who love the Lord, hate evil. Okay, you've heard me talk about, I hate sickness and disease. There's a lot of things that I think are evil, And that's one of them. Okay. And the scripture says, you who love the Lord, hate evil. He preserves the souls of his saints. He delivers them out of the hand of the wicked. When we hate evil, we can expect deliverance. When we hate evil, we can expect deliverance. Listen to the passion. You lovers of God, hate evil. For God can keep you from wrong and protect you from the power of wickedness. When you hate evil, God will protect you. Amen? In the New Testament, we see that the Apostle Paul said several things about evil. Let's go to Romans 12:9. Again, New King James and then the Passion. Romans 12:9. It says, let love be without hypocrisy. This is the Apostle Paul talking. Abhor what is evil and cling to what is good. There's people out there today, even Christians, who won't even talk about the evil. We're to abhor it. Cling to what is good. Listen to it in the Passion. Let the inner movement of your heart always be to love one another and never play the role of an actor wearing a mask. Despise evil. Despise evil and embrace everything that is good and virtuous. Despise evil. Let's go to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy 2, verses 3 to 4. I'm going to read the New King James and then the Passion. 2 Timothy 2, 3 to 4. You, therefore, must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life. In other words, you're not going to go get into the world and cultural things. You shouldn't when you are engaged and enlisted as a soldier of Christ. Listen to it in the Passion. Overcome every form of evil as a victorious soldier of Jesus, the Anointed One. Overcome every form of evil as a victorious soldier of Jesus, the Anointed One. For every soldier called to active duty must divorce himself from the distractions of this world so that he may fully satisfy the one who chose him. We have to divorce ourselves from the distractions of the world so that we may fully satisfy the one who chose us. Amen. So Pastor Greg did a whole series about the distractions of the world, and it's true. They are out there. In fact, they kind of come at you from every direction. But we have to know the word. We have to know what is evil and take a stand. Listen, let's go to Acts 9. I'm going to read that just in the Passion. Acts chapter 9, verses 28 to 31. In this chapter here, this is where Paul was feared by the believers there in Jerusalem. And because of his past, he comes to them and they don't want to believe him. They don't want to accept the fact that he's changed. And Barnabas comes to his defense. And Paul was accepted and he had preached boldly. But in the Passion, I'm going to start at verse 28. Then they accepted him as a brother and he remained with them, joining them wherever they went in Jerusalem, boldly preaching in the power and authority of Jesus. Boldly preaching. So just like he had done evil by killing Christians, okay, now there's a reversal and he is doing all these things for Jesus Christ. He's doing the good. It says in the Passion, then they accepted him, as I said, boldly preaching in the power and authority of Jesus. Listen to this. He openly debated with some of the Jews who had adopted the Greek culture, yet they were secretly plotting to murder him. When the believers discovered their scheme, they smuggled him out of the city and took him to Caesarea and then sent him on to Tarsus. Now, let me just stop for a second and go back to that. He openly debated with some of the Jews who had adopted the Greek culture. Okay? A lot of stuff was done in the Greek culture that was not appropriate, was certainly not for the day or in the Bible, that should have been condoned. And he was willing to debate them and let them know what you're doing is wrong. And then it says, after this, the church all over Judea, Galilee, and Samaria experienced a season of peace. The congregations grew larger and larger when the believers being empowered and encouraged by the Holy Spirit. They worshiped God in wonder and awe and walked in the fear of the Lord. They worshiped God in wonder and awe and walked in the fear of the Lord. Just so we talked about last week, that worship is to reverence God. And then he manifests, his presence manifests. So they worshiped God in wonder and awe and walked in the fear of the Lord. So don't be afraid to speak out against things in the culture that are against the word of God. Paul is an example of someone who was being used by the devil, but turned all his evil deeds around and dedicated his life to Christ doing good. So in closing, let's look at Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12, verses 28 and 29 in the New King James. And I'll read it in that and then the voice. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. We may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Listen to it in the voice. Therefore, let us all be thankful that we are a part of an unshakable kingdom and offer to God worship that pleases him and reflects the awe and reverence we have toward him. Offer to God worship that pleases him and reflects the awe and reverence we have toward him, for he is like a fierce fire that consumes everything. So if you want more intimacy with the creator of the universe, showing him reverence, honor, and respect in everything you say and do will bring you to that place. God is still doing miracles and taking the impossible and making it possible. Do not be afraid to stand up and speak out boldly for the things of God, for the word of God, and help people get set free from the bondage that the devil has them in. Amen. So that concludes the message. And before we get into the prayer of salvation, I'm just going to pray a prayer. Heavenly Father, the ecclesia is waking up. Your body is waking up to who we are because of you. We will speak out against evil, and as your army, avoid all distractions of the world. We thank you, Father God, that you know and you brought us here for such a time as this. You knew us before we were formed in our mother's womb. You had your plans and your purposes all ready for us. And we thank God that we are here today to carry out the plans that you have for us today. So thank you, Father God, and all those that are listening. I pray that their hearts are touched and that they are blessed, and that if they have any needs, that you will meet their needs. We give you praise, glory, and honor in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. So before we conclude, we always give people an opportunity to come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. We don't want anyone to perish without knowing Jesus. So I'm going to pray a simple prayer. And as I pray this prayer, if you're listening, you can just repeat it after me if you've never given your heart to Jesus and you've never asked him into your heart. So just say this after me. Say, Dear God, I believe that Jesus Christ is your son. I believe that Jesus was crucified, died, and was buried, but he rose on the third day. Jesus, come into my heart and be my Savior and my Lord. Thank you for forgiving me of all my sins. Fill me with your Holy Spirit, and I thank you for eternal life with you. Amen. That simple prayer is you asking Jesus into your heart and has changed your spirit, went from a spirit that was dead to one that is now alive. And we ask that you just reach out and contact us. We want to give you some free material. It's like the baby coming home from the hospital. We need to give you information to get you started in the right direction. You can reach out to us by email. There's information on the screen. You can contact us by phone, and you can also send in a note or whatever by mail. So please go ahead and do that if you've prayed that prayer, and we welcome you into the family of God. God bless you.